Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City. I apologize for being a little bit late. I was just finishing up a webinar, and I think Mark Woltz is out there. Mark, you there?
Yes, hello, Ann. Mark
Hi,
Woltz,
Mark.
New York City also, over on the
Yeah. I was doing a webinar for the new moon, and I'm like, oh, I got to get off. I got to go. I got the 9:30 kickoff for the show. So I apologize, folks, for being a little late. And Heather won't be joining us tonight because she's flying home. But she may tune if she lands somewhere, she may tune in. But in the meantime, you just got Mark and Ann. I'm at the Bright Red Desk, and Mark is in over by the Hudson River. I'm over by the East River. We span Manhattan. So welcome to Access Astrology for March 14th, 2018. What we do here is we talk about the stuff in the sky, and then we also talk about what's going on in your life, and we take calls from our listeners. So, Mark, what's new and exciting with you? Not that I didn't see you all weekend, because we did a great workshop this weekend.
Yeah, that was good. We had a good group of people.
Mm-hmm.
They interacted very well, and I find that's the best way to learn. Not so much taking notes as taking part.
Taking part in really learning new stuff. Yeah, it's very cool.
Yep.
Yeah, and so we are, a couple people asked if we could sell it, so we did decide, we talked amongst ourselves, and we decided we would sell it, so if you'd like to purchase it, feel free to send me an email, and we'll take your money, and we'll send you the PDFs of the presentations and the recordings for the 2 days of classes that we did from 10 to 5 this weekend, and they were on Finding Joy, Talent, and Success in Your Chart. And Heather and Mark and I, this is our 9th year, Heather said. It feels like, you know, we've been doing it lifetimes, probably. It's our 9th year of doing it, and we had a lot of fun. Next year, we're going to do horary astrology. So save your time for that. So, but, yeah, a couple people asked that couldn't make it or were long distance and wanted to do it, you know, via camera, which we were really not quite sure how we would do, so we just didn't. But then people asked, and we said, well, you know,
audio.
We can make it better. Yeah, so Mark, what would you like to tell people about what we did this week? What you thought were the highlights of it?
Well, I think actually when people were discussing their charts and looking in their charts for things that we talked about, I think that was the most fun because they really enjoyed it. And people, no matter how many times they looked at their chart, they saw something new in it. And that's always fun to be part of. Never thought of it that way before.
I never saw that. I never thought that before, yeah. And I do think that that's one of the beauties of this kind of stuff because we worked in small groups too. So if you buy the tapes, you won't get the group experience unless you do them with a friend, which you could do. You know, split it with a friend and who's an astrology friend out there, we don't know, and then do it together and do your homework.
Right.
So that's the plan. So this week we have Mars going into Capricorn on the weekend. But right now it's at the anaretic degree of Sagittarius, and it's out of bounds, which means everything's a little wild and crazy. And, of course, it's tied into the galactic center, so everybody's very psychic. And how many of you are not sleeping well at night? Because all this energy and fire in the sky is full of toss and turn time. So a lot of tossing and turning energy and a lot of fire energy. There also is no air in the sky right now, except for a south node, which isn't a planet, so it doesn't really count. So there's no air. So it's also very hard to find words or to find words that can easily express your emotions because people are feeling very passionate but not gotten a lot of words because there's just no air. So there's no air and it's just fire, earth, and water. You're missing something. So when the absence is there, because you don't have a way to hook into it. Somebody asked me why that would be. Because when there's an air planet, that helps you talk. So it's kind of a quiet not quiet busy. It's busy, lots of stuff going on, but air kind of going, I don't even know what I'm going to think about that. So that's the other piece.
We work with four elements, and all four are important. And overall in our life and in our months, there's a mixture of all of them, but you can go through a short period like this where we're missing one element. And
yep.
it's interesting. It makes it a little difficult to deal with the communicating part of things, the thinking part of things. But it's also worth going through that experience because you really notice. It's sort of like when you injure your right hand. If you're right-handed, you suddenly have to start using your left hand. It's a little awkward. And
mm-hmm.
So you really appreciate what the how the right hand works.
Right.
And you try
right.
to get the left hand to do that. So mm-hmm. here we are without air planets and air signs. And so we're asking the other planets, the other signs that the planets are in, to sort of pick up the slack.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn from that.
Right. And they kind of look and go, what? Why? I don't want to do that. I don't like
yeah.
talking. I'd rather be over here being watery, fiery, or earthy. But sometimes
right.
we also notice when we're missing an energy, we try and compensate in other ways, right? So air is also
mm-hmm.
awakeness. You know, like think about like when you yawn, you're yawning to get more air in. So that's also why people are having a little more difficulty sleeping, because they're awake, waiting for air kind of thing. It's an interesting
yeah.
phenomena, you know, and we do have it happen. You know, last year there was a lot of fire for parts of the year, and there wasn't any water, so we had all those fires, you know. So there can be an overabundance of energy, and there can also be an underabundance. In this case, it's an underabundance of air, and it does really have an impact on folks. And then also we do have a lot of planets in fire right now. We have Mercury in fire and Venus in fire, Uranus in fire, Sag in fire, a lot of fire. And what they're doing is sparking. Now, Mercury and Venus are personal planets, so when the personality's on fire, you know, the personal planets are on fire, it can make us be a little more fiery. You know, we can feel a little more passionate about things or be inspired or be, blah, blah, blah. You know, so understand the fire energy is part of the passion and part of the deal. And also Mercury is in his retrograde shadow. So when he hit 4, he's going to be stationing soon and going retrograde. So he's going to be in Aries this month and next month. But when he is in, he's already starting to screw up communications. So double check and triple check and make sure you have a vision. So I had somebody come over today and we were doing something and they were like, well, this is not what I anticipated. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, this is what I thought we were doing, you know. So it was kind of like we had a, you know, it wasn't bad, but we hadn't really planned it, you know. Or the plan didn't quite happen the way we thought. So that's mm-hmm. the other piece of it is, you know, like you're going to maybe have a plan and the other person's going to have a plan and there's going to be a little miss in it. And that's okay, too. That's part of the deal with this energy. So, and with Venus in Aries, she's pretty feisty in Aries and she's also in her detriment. So there's an energy of impatience with fire, with our
yeah,
love partners, with people that we're hanging out with money. So there's definitely a fast whoosh, whoosh. And also quick
yeah,
decision-making.
With Venus in Aries, that's usually, there is a sense of impatience and it's impatience with others.
Yep.
So other
we're normally the love goddess is polite and nice, you know.
Right.
But she's not right now. Not polite and she's not nice. And she doesn't want to be, thank you very much. So.
Right.
And then we have a new moon on the weekend in Pisces, 26
right.
Pisces, which is, again, the last degree of Pisces, the last degree of the zodiac. So we're ready for a new cycle. So there's a lot of letting go, a lot of ending, finishing, releasing, done, done, done. Great time to clean the closets, great time to spring clean, home improvement projects, stuff to Goodwill. This is like one of Goodwill's big weeks this next 2 weeks. As we get ready for the summer, the spring to arrive, which happens next week, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, what do you would you notice anything about the new moon that you thought was interesting?
Just that 26 degree has been showing up a lot with the moon this past even a year, so it's getting quite worked over. So anybody that's got significant planets at 26 degrees will feel this one strongly. 26 yeah. degrees of anything, because it'll be an aspect of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah, it just really activates everything, where everybody feels very much like, oi, again with the 26? And it's like, yeah, again with the 26. So, yeah, and this is Pisces, which is the dream time before the new seeding, which is Aries next month's new moon. Was Aries, which is the seeding of the energy and the new year, the new growth year beginning when the sun goes across the equator. But we did have daylight savings time too, so we're now springing ahead a day, an hour. It feels like a day, but it's really only an hour. It's only an hour. So, all right.
Yeah.
So any other things you want to say about the weather before we take some calls?
No, I think that's pretty much what we need to know.
All right, cool. So let's get some people on the air and roll. All right, 9. If you want us to call and you raise your hand. And I'm clicking and it's not doing anything. Come on. Oh, there we go. Hi, 917-863. You're on the air. How can we help?
Yes. Hi, Ann. Hi, Mark. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm actually calling in regards to my mother. Her birthday is August 1st, 1945.
Uh-huh.
She was born in New York City, but I'm not sure of the time.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll do a noon chart for her, because what that does is that gives us the halfway mark for the moon. It'll be halfway through the journey. And we can answer some questions, but not a lot of questions. So what's the question?
Yeah, sure. She's actually having some health issues right now, and I just want to know, they kind of came on sudden, like something kind of like, she had a procedure done like a few years ago, and then as of recently, something has been reactivated, and she hasn't been very well for the past month or so. So I'm just wondering if you see anything in her chart that I need to aware of, or do you see anything that looks like, you know, her health will turn around or anything like
so
that?
So it's been bad since like the beginning of December? Middle of December?
I would say, yeah, she's very secretive, so it probably was going on since December. It's just gotten to the point where now, you know, she's had to get a procedure done, which happened a few weeks ago, involving the brain. So, you know, I'm just wondering if, you know, if you can see anything that's going on.
Okay. Well, we don't have a time, so we can't really nail the health piece. But she is having, the brain is Aries, right? And she is having transiting Saturn on her natal nodes. So the south node is, being activated. Natally, her Saturn's in Cancer, which is why she's secretive, you know. And she really doesn't like this stuff because she got a moon in Taurus. But she has Uranus at 17 right now, because Uranus is in Gemini. And Uranus right now is in, when you say brain, I go, okay, Uranus has been in Aries, which is...
Is that August 1, 1935?
1945, right?
45.
Yes.
Yeah, 1945, yeah.
Okay.
So the Uranus is opposite her progressed Mercury, which is big for her because she's a Virgo. So the answer is, I would be concerned. She's not that young. I mean, she's not old, but, you know, she is a Taurus. Taurus is,
And I'm sorry, she's actually a Leo. August
1st. But she's got a Taurus moon.
She is a Leo.
She's a Sun Pluto in Leo. The node of fate is coming to that in the eclipses that we've got coming up in August. So this has brought up stuff. But she's got the Taurus moon, which is, I think of Taurus as, because it rules her Saturn on the south node. Her Saturn's in Cancer, answering to the moon in Taurus. So that's why I'm looking at the moon. And the moon is the throat, and it's also the lower part of the brain, you know, the back, the cerebellum part, the balance part. And then the Aries part is the forehead part. So which part of the brain was she having problems with?
Kind of both. Like the balance has been off, and there's been some tumors that have been found in the front and the back. So
Yeah. Mm. Tumors in front over the ears, right? Over the front temporal lobe above the ear?
Actually, it's one near the optical nerve, I believe, and then there's one in the front, which is affecting her vision
her
and
balance.
Her balance.
Her balance. Yeah. Yeah, that's the south node. That's the Saturn coming to the south node. So I think it's probably something you want to be a little more assertive with her on, because, you know, you want to, this is definitely showing as pretty strong in her chart. And it's Chiron, you know, so she's you know, she doesn't tell you stuff. That's who she is, because she's a Sun Pluto girl. And so you just have to, the hard part is now they have that stupid HIPAA thing and they don't let you, they don't talk to the relatives. So you have people, you know, I mean, I have a father like this, so I get it. And you want to kind of smack them because they're like, well, I only have to talk to your father. It's like, no, because he's not going to tell me anything, you know. So I would ride shotgun with her on this stuff and go to any of the doctor's appointments you can go to. She does minimize with that Taurus moon. She does not like this stuff treated. So, you know, faced with a lot of surgical options, she could be recalcitrant with anything like that, you know, not necessarily wanting to do stuff. And she is having Sun opposite the Jupiter. So the good news is they're going to figure out what's going on. The bad news is it is Saturn on the south node. So it does look, I mean, Saturn's going to go over that node three times through the fall. So it's, you know, it's a long process, I think, for her to get the dizziness under control. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, I like the notion of really staying tough and staying in touch and, you know, being with her through this. And keep in mind she does have the Taurus moon, which likes steadiness and pleasant stuff. But she also has a lot of Gemini energy. And,
definitely.
You know, that helps her to keep it light. So even though you're dealing with heavy things, do it in a light way, and she'll appreciate it. So pick up on that. And, you know, like get her, if she has things she's supposed to do, you know, like physical therapy of any kind, you know, speech therapy, things like that. Make it all light and fun, you know, for games.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, her biggest fear is losing her ability to do things by herself. So that's the big fear here. So what you want to do is talk to her about, well, there's options, you know, let's talk about, I mean, not right away, but let her bring it up because that's her. But also with the Gemini stuff, I don't know if you have other siblings, but, or if she has siblings.
No.
No, she doesn't?
No,
okay.
She doesn't. Yeah, she just lost her sister a few months ago, and I'm the only child from her.
Okay, and but you're local, right? You live locally?
Yes.
Yeah.
Relatively.
Okay.
Well, I ironically just moved away, like about an hour away, so it's kind of now the health stuff is starting to kick in, and I'm like, what's going on here?
Well, I think you'll figure it out with the Mercury and Aries for sure, and they'll probably suggest doing some procedures which look like they hold the fort for a while, but it does look like she's got a couple more passes, and, you know, we're working, there's a long term, you're making long term plans here. Right, like what happens if, but I think right now it's more the immediacy of the treatment and her not, you know, her knowing that she has options and choices about how to do it. But it does look like there's people that can help, though, too. I don't know if you don't have siblings, if you have cousins, or if she has friends or neighbors who would rally and help, too. Because that Taurus moon usually, you know, and also any kind of good food you can bring her, you know.
Yeah.
The physical pleasures are always really good with these kinds of things.
Yeah.
So,
and it's funny because I'm a Taurus, so that's interesting. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know how it works then.
Yes, exactly.
It's good.
Well, yeah, they love that kind of stuff. So we'll say prayers for her, and you hang in there. And it came to light in a good time to fix it, so that's the good news.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you both for your time and energy.
Okay.
You're welcome. Okay. Big hugs. Bye. All right. Hi, 510-982. You're on the air. How are you? How can we help?
Hi. Thank you. And I was wondering if I could ask you about love And then a quick astrology question.
Sure. What's your birthday?
5581.
551981. Yep.
And it's 2:52 a.m.
2:52 a.m. And where?
It was Elkhorn, Wisconsin, where I was born.
Elkhorn.
Wisconsin. Yeah. And I'm saving up for a reading, and so I will not call to raise my hand in the future just to give other people a chance, but I really appreciate being able to talk to you.
Yeah, okay. So what's your question?
About love. Is there anything in my chart that says anything about relationships? I have patterns that I'm hoping to break, but I just can't seem to attract a man that I like and also likes me. Either I like them or they like me, but not both.
It doesn't go both ways, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Well, one, you're not that old, right? So, and the period of time between 24 and 36 is when we do our Venus, when we learn what we love and we learn what loves us, right? So that's, you're right in the middle of that. You just had your Saturn return recently, and you're not having your Jupiter return to get you to the next level for another couple of years. So that's the good news, or you just got to the next level, I guess, with 81. So you're now just starting to go, okay, let's go forward. So now you're running your Sun section, right? And the reason we want Jupiter is because Jupiter rules your Aquarius rising, but Jupiter rules your first house, and he also rules your midheaven of where you're going. And you have all those planets in Taurus, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5 planets in Taurus, plus the moon in Gemini. So the energy of the chart is pretty clear what it likes and what it doesn't like. And then the Saturn in the seventh makes it go, well, not that, not that, not that. So what I would do with your chart is I would say, let's flip the energy and talk about, well, what is it you like to pull in?
Mm-hmm.
What would that look like? What's that person like? And I do a lot of work. I like the work of a woman named Catherine Woodward Thomas called Calling in the One. And she does a lot of work on helping you visualize what partner looks like and how what they're like personally or what they're like. And what I've been doing with clients is having them go to bed at night and visualize what the relationship that they would like to have looks like and then go to sleep. So there isn't time for the conscious mind to fight with you. And it says, this is what my relationships look like. And you just kind of imagine what you're doing. You're going out dancing. You're having a nice dinner. You're having friends over. You're also Aquarius rising, so that has high freedom needs. So you're going to pull in people that have high freedom needs. And then last but not least, think about your parents' relationship and how that does or does not reflect what you would like in a personal relationship. Looks like you wouldn't like it necessarily. But the good news is your Saturn and Jupiter have both gone direct. So now you have the opportunity to go, okay, what would I like to pull in as a partner that isn't really what my parents have, but is what I want? Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. And I love that book,
does.
Calling in the One. Mark, what would you say?
Yeah, you're at an age where you really can look and see the patterns of relationship that you grew up with and decide what's most important for you to adjust so that you don't recreate those relationships except for the good parts. So spend a little time doing that, you know. You have a good perspective on it at this point. And then think of where you can meet someone who fits sort of the description of how you want to relate to someone. So, and that, you know, calling in the one will help with that.
Yeah, because your moon in Gemini also trines the Jupiter in Libra. And so it's a lot about, okay, well, what actually is my requirement list? And Gemini often means you have to do it two times. So you pull them in and they'll be close, and then you have to do it again. So I had a client, I always practice the stuff on my students before I give it to clients. So I had one of my students, she wanted a new job. So she had a big list. She wanted 5 weeks of vacation. She wanted a window with an office. She wanted to be able to walk to work, good health insurance. Da, da, da. She had a list, like 7 things on the list, all of which she got. Window in an office overlooking Rockefeller Center. She can walk to work. 5 weeks vacation, good pay. But her boss is an 85-year-old guy. He doesn't come in the office much. So she was just sitting at the desk with nothing to do, which drove her crazy because she's a Virgo. And I said, well, you know, you didn't have – none of the list was job. None of the list was work, right? And she's like, you mean I have to get a new job? And I said, no, just imagine some work with this job. You know, like, you know, like they give you a project or something to do because you don't have to sit there all the time. So she added that in, and somebody came over and asked her if she wanted to work on a project. So she's now got some work in this nice job with the 5 weeks vacation. So modify it as you pull it in, too, right? You know, like if it comes in and it's close – go, okay, what, because you've been doing a lot of dating, so what would you, you know what you want, you know, so what does that look like, and don't do negative definition, do positive. But the calling in the one book is really good for helping with that kind of stuff, so
perfect.
I find it really helpful, yeah.
And you say sometimes about people have retrograde charts or
yes.
direct charts. Is mine direct or retrograde?
You were born with Neptune, Uranus, Juno, Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter retrograde, and thus far, Jupiter and Saturn have both gone direct. So you were born with some pretty retrograde, which takes them then a while for you to get to know those planets. And interestingly, they're in the house of relationships. So it'll take you a while to get the relationship figured out part. But once you do, you're good to go. You know, that's the nice part about
it. I can't wait to do a reading sometime.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
My last question, astrology question, maybe would help everybody. What when you say, you know, find where this is in your chart, it doesn't change, right? Like on your weekly weather or
No, it doesn't change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
so once you know where it's at, then you know.
Yeah, your chart does ripen over time. You progress in life. You know, you're not a baby anymore. You're like a grown up. So you do ripen, but where your natal chart is, that's not going to change. Yeah.
Okay, so if you say find where your Cancer is in your chart, it's doing this week, then it will always be in that same place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, things move through it, but the places don't shift.
No, that's a good question. I'm sure a lot of people have had that, so that's a good question.
Yes, my brain, I don't think it, you know, really has the aptitude for astrology, so.
Well, you're imagery-based, right? So you're very imagery-based. Once you start seeing the patterns in it, you'll be fine with astrology. Because your Gemini moon likes a good system, but your Taurus is imagery-based. So once you get the images, you'll be good. If you find a chart patterns you like, you'll be able to pick up the images really quickly.
Okay. Interesting.
Good.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you
both. You're welcome.
Okay, bye. All right, so that's the show this week. We're off. We'll talk to you all next week. Have a great new moon. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Woo-hoo-hoo. And we'll talk to you all soon. Bye. It's Ann Ortley signing off from the Bright Red Desk.
And Mark Waltz signing off from the Hudson River.
Hudson River.
And we'll catch you next week. We'll
catch you next week. Okay. And if you want to buy the thing, shoot me an email, ann@annortley.com or admin@annortley.com. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.